in God's Word and in the confession of faith. And I'm turning in God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that very familiar portion. First Corinthians chapter 11. We read this every month, but it is very important to remember. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Amen. We're going to end our reading at that point for just a little bit. In 1 Corinthians 11, and we trust that the Lord will help us tonight as we study, that He would open our understanding, that He would give us grace and do us good. We're going to read from the Confession of Faith now, that first section of chapter 29. Brother Brent, would you read it for us, please?
Our Lord Jesus, in the night wherein He was betrayed, instituted the sacrament of His body and blood, called the Lord's Supper, to be observed in His church unto the end of the world, for the perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of Himself in His death, the sealing all benefits thereof unto true believers, their spiritual nourishment and growth in Him, their further engagement in and to all duties which they owe unto Him, and to be a bond and a pledge of their communion with Him and with each other as members of His mystical body.
Thank you, brother. We are going to consider only a little part of that tonight because it's such a large section. I want to tell you first of all about Dr. Martin Luther. When he was a very young man and a monk, his heart was greatly troubled regarding his salvation. And they sent him as a special envoy of the Augustinians from Germany to the Pope in Rome. And it was supposed to help him and be a blessing to him spiritually. Well, he told of one particular occasion when he was given his noon meal with a fair number of these high-ranking Roman Catholic clergymen. And they figured that Martin Luther was such a jolly fellow like they were, a man of their own stamp, that they began with their laughter and boasting to share some things with him that shook him to his very foundation. Among other things, they told the monk that when they were reading Mass at the altar, instead of the sacramental words that were to convert the bread and the wine into the Savior's flesh and blood, they pronounced derisive words instead. Bread thou art, and bread thou shalt remain. Wine thou art, and wine thou shalt remain. Then they continued, we elevate it, and all the people bow down and adore. The jocularity of Rome was shocking to Martin Luther. I was, he says, a young and pious monk. Words like these gave me great pain. If they speak thus in Rome at the table, freely and openly, I thought to myself, what would be the consequence if their actions corresponded to their words, and if Pope, Cardinal, courtiers, and all said Mass in this fashion? Me too, who have heard them read so many times with such devotion, how they would have deceived me. What an awful, wicked thing. These monks thought it was funny to make light of the Lord's sacrifice, even though their Mass was a mockery of it. What a sad thing that even though they were supposed to be taking it seriously, it was nothing more than a joke to them. That caused Martin Luther to really think, is this real? I need to look deeper. And he went back home and he looked deeper. He started looking into the scriptures of truth. He started reading the Bible very carefully. Well, this supper that we are studying about, the Lord's Supper, I want to take just these first few words. Our Lord Jesus, in the night wherein he was betrayed, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, called the Lord's Supper, to be observed in his church unto the end of the world. We're going to stop right there. And there are just some questions that I want to ask the scriptures regarding the Lord's Supper. This supper is certainly not something to make light of. It is a most soul-nourishing matter, or it is a soul-destroying matter. You would have to say that those who were joking about it and going about their performance of the Mass, which was not truly the Lord's Supper anyway, you would have to say that they were doing it, what they were doing, in a most unworthy and unchristian manner. And the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11 and down in the verse 29, there is a very strong word given there. 1 Corinthians 11:29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. And I would have to say that those who would so toy with the Lord's Supper in the fashion they were doing were indeed bringing condemnation and damnation upon their souls. Well, this is called the Lord's Supper. Our Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And it is very important that we realize He is the one who instituted it. I ask the question, who instituted the Lord's Supper? It was none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and the head of the church. Only He has the authority to institute sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. If anyone thinks that they can add to or diminish the number of Christ's sacraments, they bring a horrible curse upon themselves. You know what Roman Catholicism has done? It has added 5 more to the 2 that the Lord has given. And they don't even celebrate the 2 in a scriptural way. So they have been guilty of adding 2. And we're told in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, the awful danger, the curse, the plagues that come upon those who dare such things. Verse 18 of Revelation 22, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Very dangerous thing to either take away from or to add to what Jesus has put in his church. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record Christ's very institution of the Lord's Supper. And then Paul rehearses it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23 and following on down for several verses. So obviously, the Lord's Supper was instituted by none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. The second question I ask, when was this sacrament instituted? That's very obvious. In the night in which he was betrayed. Now, that is a very important thing for you and me to think about. that it was on the night our Savior was betrayed that he instituted the supper. On that dark night of his betrayal, Christ, knowing all things, he knew that this supper was right before his most horrible sufferings. For he said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, he said in verse 15, notice what the Savior said. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He knew. He was very conscious, knowing what was coming upon him in the next few hours. He was totally aware of the awful pain, the horrible sufferings that he was about to endure. Therefore, here we see our Savior's undaunted courage, his fortitude. He was not consumed with fear, but he calmly instituted this supper for the good of his church. Even at the very point where he was facing the awful sufferings, his mind was not on himself and what he was about to suffer. Rather, he was thinking of others. Since he felt in that hour of extremity such an obligation to bless his church, what ought we to feel regarding our obligation to him? We have a great duty and obligation as his people to keep this holy feast of the Lord's Supper. We have the duty to keep it with zeal, with joy, with a humble heart of worship and faithfulness to him. Because you think of what was on our Savior's mind that night. He said to his disciples that with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Listen to what Jesus was saying. Even when the whips, the thorns, the nails, the cross were awaiting him, as he fully knew, yet he could serenely establish this sacrament for the encouragement and for the comfort of his people for the ages to come. He was undaunted. How then can we dare, in our own neglect, in our own laziness, or in any way to undervalue this sacrament of our dying friend who laid down his life for our lives? That is quite a thought, that since the Savior in his last hours before suffering was consumed with doing us good, can we, even though we wouldn't dare to do what those Roman Catholic clerics were doing, can we in any way take lightly or even so despise the Lord's table as to not be concerned with great desire to celebrate when it is our time to celebrate the Lord's Supper? It is the most precious thing. It should be a thing that really occupies our souls, that should take up our thoughts, that we should give ourselves to, because it was so important to Jesus. Even when all of that dread was looming on the horizon, there our Savior was thinking of doing us good in the supper, in instituting the supper. So when was it instituted? It was instituted in the night wherein he was betrayed. He instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, called the Lord's Supper, to be observed in his church unto the end of the world. There are some who tell us, well, it's not an important thing now. It was important in the early days of the church, but it's no longer a great necessity. Well, how long, I ask then, is the Lord's Supper to continue? It is indeed to continue to the end of the world. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and down at verse 25. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 25. All right. He says there, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. It is important that we continue this celebration, this setting forth of Christ's sufferings in our behalf and the salvation that we enjoy in and through him alone till he comes. Now, there's an intimation in the scriptures that it may even be celebrated after that time. Let's look at God's word in Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29. Matthew 26 and verse 29. Notice what Jesus said there in the institution of the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26, 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And if you turn back in Matthew to chapter 8, there's an interesting verse. Matthew 8 and verse 11. Here are the words of Jesus. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is most interesting. Could it be that there is an eternal memorial of our Savior's death that will be held even when we get in the glory land? So in this world, as long as we are here, we are to do this in remembrance of him till he comes. But then after that, there may even be an eternal memorial of what he did in this manner in heaven. Well, what are the Bible names that are given to this sacrament? I'm going to give you several of them. I have five of them here from God's Word. Our Lord Jesus, in the night wherein he was betrayed, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, called the Lord's Supper. All right. Now, there's one of them. There are four others that this is called in God's Word. Anybody have any ideas what else is called besides the Lord's Supper? Communion, there's one. I'll give you a clue. The Lord's table. There's three of them. One of them is a Greek term, the Eucharist, and it actually is the Greek for our English term, he gave thanks. And when he had given thanks, okay, and then we'll show you the other one. First of all, let's look at communion. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. I read this at the beginning of the service tonight. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So communion, in order to enjoy communion with God at his table, what do you have to have? You have to have union. You have to have union with him by faith. It is faith that unites us to him. Now, the most wonderful thing about that faith is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. We did not originate the faith, because the apostle tells us in another epistle that all men have not faith. Okay? If all men have not faith, where did those of us who have faith get it? Did we conjure it up from the inside? No. Faith is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not something you can work up. Praise God. So, by faith, God gives us faith that unites us to Him spiritually. We are united to Him. The fruit of this wonderful grace of regeneration, He gives us faith to take hold of Him, to trust in Him alone for our salvation. So only by having union with Him can we then enjoy communion, that is fellowship with Him. Communion simply means fellowship. We enjoy this sweet fellowship with the Lord. So there's the name of this feast, not only the Lord's Supper, but also communion. If you turn back to Acts chapter 2, Luke, the physician, was the one that the Holy Spirit used to write the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, Luke has a favorite way of describing the Lord's Supper. 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Okay, there's a carnal thing, obviously. They were in the apostles' doctrine. Was a carnal matter, right? And fellowship, that was another carnal matter. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. There are four carnal things they were doing, right? No, there were four spiritual things they were doing together. They continued steadfastly in the doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They were celebrating communion. He calls it the breaking of bread. If you turn over to Acts chapter 20, Luke uses this same terminology again in verse 7 of chapter 20. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. What was their purpose coming together? They came together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and they came to hear the preaching of the Word. Okay? That was their chief purpose for gathering, was to share in the communion feast and in hearing the preaching of the Word. All right. Now, that service went on rather long, and I feel quite sure they had to take some nourishment in that time, but that was not their chief thing for gathering together. All right, so the breaking of bread is a favorite way that the Luke, the physician, had of referring to the Lord's Supper. All right, now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. There we have another term. 1 Corinthians 11, 24, and when He, that is Christ, had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Right at the beginning of the verse. And when He had given thanks. The Greek word is Eucharist. The verb is Eucharisto. And it simply means giving thanks. This is the feast of giving thanks to God for our Savior's broken body and His shed blood. All right, there's the third name that the Bible gives it. Now, the Lord's Supper, that's very obvious. Chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians and verse 21. 1 Corinthians 10, 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. There it's called the Lord's table. Now that's very interesting, because the Bible calls it a table. Roman Catholicism, interestingly enough, calls it an altar. They try to turn a sacrament into a sacrifice being offered up to God, as though this were an altar, like an Old Testament altar of offering up a sacrifice. This is the total opposite of what Christ did. Christ did not take a sacrament and turn it into a sacrifice. He took His sacrifice and gave us the picture of it in a sacrament. So Christ did the very opposite of what Roman Catholicism does. He turned his once-for-all sacrifice into a memorial sacrament. Christ had his disciples to sit at the table. They were actually reclining at the table. They were sitting at a table, not standing at an altar. A table is for taking and eating and having nourishment. An altar is a place for offering, for propitiation, for expiation. That was not what our Savior established. He gave us a table and not an altar. And then you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 21 calls this ordinance the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11:21, "For in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken." Okay. Now then, let's see. This is my scripture. 11:21. All right, verse 20, I'm sorry, it's above that. "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." It's not to eat the Lord's Supper. It is to take the Lord's Supper. It's not something we're taking for our physical nourishment. It is what we are taking for our spiritual nourishment. That's what the Lord is telling us. So I go back tonight as we conclude, to think about what an awful scene that was when our Savior instituted the supper as He was about to be betrayed into the hands of the enemies of God, as He was going to be beaten, spit upon, mocked, crucified, tortured, terrible things that were done to our Savior. And yet in the midst of all those thoughts, He was taken up with giving a blessing to His people, to leaving to His church a source of encouragement, comfort, and strengthening. Hallelujah. And this is the Lord's table. This is not an altar. It is the Lord's table where we take spiritual nourishment, not where we make a sacrifice. We're going to sing about that as we close the service tonight. Number 78.